7. Next slide, please. Got a problem? There we are. Good. And God is not one who controls us and leaves us with no free will. He didn't preach to teach us to pray our teddy bear in heaven, who is completely irrelevant to our lives. He didn't teach us to pray our bearded old man in a cloud in heaven, who is weak and powerless. He didn't teach us to pray our Santa Claus, whose duty it is to give us everything we want. Jesus taught every one of us to pray our Father, to call God Father. Because we have a Father God who loves us so much than we can ever, ever, ever imagine. And he's made it possible for you and I to be his children. Father God loves us, he accepts us, he treasures us, and he wants us to know that he not only wants to be involved in our lives, but God wants us to be involved in his life. It's an amazing privilege that you and I can call God Father. Now, the English language at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer isn't always very helpful. Our Father can sound a bit formal. Many of you say to your dad in the morning, "Good morning, Father." Good morning, Father. Maybe some of you do. You're very respectful of your dad. You say, "Good morning, Father. Some breakfast, please." No, we'd say, "Dad, good morning. I'm late for my bus. Get my breakfast, Dad." And it's much more informal. And the original word in the Greek language, or spoken by the people called Aramaic, was Abba. Abba. And Abba is close to Daddy, but except grown-ups don't say Daddy, and adults in Jesus' day did say Abba. So Abba could probably be translated my beloved Father. It's a term which means we really love our Father. He's close to us. And Daddy could be used. So God says, "Come to me and call me Daddy. Call me your loving Father who knows you." And being able to call God Abba means that we all feel equally loved children of his. Whether this morning you're a top banker and work in the City of London, or you're young and you're just starting school, or somewhere in between, you can know that your prayer is really, really important to God. Really important. No one else's prayers are more important to God than yours are. Do you know that this morning? Your prayers are really important to God. Your prayers are really important to God. So we start from the place of being really loved, so loved by God. When we start to pray, we know God loves us, and that's where we start, and it's really important. Every time you come to pray, God's love comes running to you. Now, Ben has just come back from Armenia, which is very far away. He was away for 10 days, and I was really excited on Tuesday night to be at the airport to see him coming home from his trip. And it was really exciting, and I hope he knew when I was at the airport late in Tuesday night that I really loved him, and it was great to see him. God loves you, and every time you come to him, he wants you to know that you're loved. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of impromptu drama this morning, so I'm going to pick out some of my actors, and I want George to help me this morning. I want William Edwards. Where's William Edwards? Come and help me this morning, please, William. Good. Matthew Lambert, come and help me this morning. Good, good. Emma, come as well. Thank you. I need some actors. Just impromptu bit of drama is going to happen this morning, and I just need to think about who else I need. Mark, actually, Mark Lambert as well. Let's have a bit of a Lambert family thing this morning. Yes, and okay. We're going to tell the story of a well-known story of the prodigal son, but it's one of these stories where I'm just going to get them to, you're going to have to act it out sort of quite, you know, enthusiastically as we go along. And this is the father. So welcome William the father. Father William, okay. And Matthew is the younger son. So Matthew, step forward, please. Thank you, Matthew. And Mark is the older brother. Okay. And in a minute, George and Emma are going to be Matthew's slightly dodgy friends. Okay, slightly dodgy. I think they will fit the part quite well, this one. Okay. So the story, as you might know, let me just tell you a story, and please act this up for me, folks. I want lots of, you know. There once was a father who had two sons. Okay, the younger son and the older son, who was getting a little grey on it, but never mind. But he was wearing quite well. One day, the younger son came to his father and said, "Now he said, Dad, I want all the money you've got for me. I want it now. So come on, Matthew, just emphasize it. All the money now. Yes, now. Okay. So Dad," and his father agreed to give him all the money. And he handed him lots of money. Yes, okay. Here we go. Okay, so that comes from the wallet. Good. And off went the youngest son. And the older son was a bit, he just was a bit concerned about that. But off went the youngest son off to a far land. And in this far land, he met up with some really quite dodgy friends. You can see they really were. They were a bit fickle. They were sort of a bit surface, you know, lived their life on the surface a bit. And they got hold of his money. And they went and drank rather a lot and partied. Let's say a bit of dancing, a bit of party. They all had quite a, come on, a bit more enthusiasm. I think you've probably done. So they had quite a life. And whilst the money lasted, they had a great time. Matthew, you're not looking like you're quite enjoying enough. Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. And one day, unfortunately, let's see your pockets, the money ran out. Oh dear, the money had gone. There was none left. And his good friends suddenly thought, we're not interested anymore. And they just took off and went, bye. Off they went. And Matthew, he really did want his friends back, but they wouldn't come back. Off they went. And things, for the younger son, things went from bad to worse and worse. He tried to get a job here, a job there, and he ended up on a farm. And he ended up with pigs. Let's see, how would you say, sort of mopping out the pigs, you know, maybe a bit of sort of brushing them down or whatever, you know. And it wasn't a great life at all. In fact, he had no money, and he ended up having to eat the pigs' food because he hadn't enough food. Now, I couldn't find any pigs' food. I could find some dog food. I might ask Matthew, do you enjoy some dog food? No, maybe not. Maybe you're about to go to focus. I think you might get a bit sick. But he was left with the pig stroke dog food. And he sat down looking fairly miserable with himself. One day, though, he came to his senses. Yeah, he came. Okay. He came to his senses and thought to himself, what am I doing? What am I doing? I'm sitting here eating dog food, pig food, in a far, far country with no friends and no money. I would be far better to go home to my good old dad and be his servant, because he'd treat me far better and life would be, quite frankly, a lot better than that. In the meantime, dad, who loved his son, every morning would go out and look for his son. The older brother, he was working in the fields. Let's see, he was working really hard. He was a very conscientious sort of man. Every day, Dad would go out and look. And he was really sad. And he was so sad that his loving son, his son whom he loved, wasn't there. But in the meantime, son said, I'm going home. And he started a long journey, sort of a long journey home. And that's not very long, Matthew. Just sort of move around a bit. Yeah, okay. And as was usual, Dad was looking out for his son. And one morning, in the distance, he thought he saw his son. And what did he do? Dad ran to his son. He ran out to meet him and embraced him. Now, the son was really surprised. He could not believe that his dad would do that. And he hadn't even got his words out. He was going to say, I'm so sorry. But dad just said, we're going to have a party like you've never had a party before. There was a problem, though. Older son wasn't terribly happy. He was not happy because he spent all his money, he'd spent all those years working, and even worse, dad had never given him a party. But His dad said, though, he said, son, you've been here all this time, and at any point, you could have had a party. You just needed to come to me, and you could have had a party. But this son of mine, he was lost, and he's been found again. We've got to celebrate, because he's home with us again. Thank you so much. Well done. Just leave the dog. Matthew, we'll not eat the dog food, please. No, I do not want you eating the dog food, because your mum, you might get sick if you eat the dog food. Thank you. You know, my favourite bit of that story, which William did, I don't know, quite brilliantly, was the moment the father rushes to his son. Now, this boy had got it badly wrong. He'd made all sorts of mistakes. He'd been greedy. He couldn't care less. He'd been reckless and careless. But his dad really, really loved him. And when his dad saw him a long way off, and I like this picture very much, he ran out to him and he embraced his son. And that's what's so true this morning about prayer. When we come to pray, God says, come to me. I love you. I'll reach out to you. I'm going to run to you and welcome you because I love when you pray to me. I love it when you come to me. And you see, the problem is sometimes people think that the door to God is locked. And I've got a picture of a door which I'd like to just to... Now, this is a picture of a headmaster's door. I can remember my school, one of the scariest places ever was the headmaster's study. And you only went to the headmaster's study if you were in deep trouble, or if he wanted to reward you for something good you'd done. You didn't just go up to the headmaster's study and say, morning, boss, how are you? And sort of waltz in, because it was the headmaster's study. That was a scary room. That was a room where you didn't really want to go into, because mostly if you were going into that room, you knew you were probably in trouble. The door was shut. There are some people, I believe, and they think the door to God is shut. And when they pray, it's like their prayers just bounce off the room, off the roof. It's like they can never get through to God. And because of sin and stuff in our lives, there can be a real separation between us and God. And we can think, I can never get through to him. But Jesus says this. He says, I am the door. I am the door. And when I died on the cross for you, the way to God was opened up. Because God is like the Father in our play. He rushes to you when you turn to him. And he gave us Jesus as proof of that. Jesus opened the way to God. Not because you're good enough, not because you're bright enough, but because he loves you. So this morning, I want to say to you, the door to God is not shut. It's wide open. And if you come to God, he will come to you, and you will know his love for you. You see, our Father in heaven doesn't mean that God is far away. It means he loves us. He is Almighty God. He is the Creator, but he also loves us and is close to us. And has done that through Jesus, our Son. You see, God is closer than you think. God is closer than you think. I like this book because this is a book by a man called John Ortberg. And he's done it like, you know, those optician's rooms, those tests. And if you look very closely, you can actually see what I've just said. God is closer than you think. Now, a lot of people just look at God a bit like you might look at an optician's chart and just see a jumble, or, you know, I could never understand God. He's out there somewhere. I just could never work that out. But if you look closely at what the Bible says, soon you realize God is closer than you think. And he's come to you through his Son, Jesus, and he loves you. How can we know God is closer? How can we know? Because he's given us his Spirit. As we've come into church this morning, God is here by his Holy Spirit. He's speaking to you. He's comforting you. Maybe he's making himself known to you for the first time. And it's the Holy Spirit who helps us
say, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit introduces us to Jesus, his Son. And it's by the Holy Spirit that we can say, Abba, Father. One of the verses in the Bible in Romans says this, the Spirit you received brought your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. It's the Holy Spirit who introduces you to the idea that God wants to bring you into his family as a son or a daughter today through Jesus. The Holy Spirit helps you know the gift that God is offering you of love and friendship. Only God can make God known to you today. So Paul says it's the Spirit of God who helps us say, Abba, Father. And if you open your door, the door of your life to Jesus today, maybe you've known him before and you've walked away from him. God says, come home, be like the prodigal, come back to me, and I will rush to you and make myself known to you. If you do that, if you take a step towards Jesus by his Spirit, he will come to you and you will know deep in your heart that he is your Father, your Daddy, your Abba. Now, I want to pray a prayer as I finish this morning. And just let's close our eyes for a moment and we're going to pray together. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit will speak clearly to you. So that like the prodigal, you will come back to the Father and you will know the love of the Father this morning. That you'll be able to say, Abba, Daddy, Father, I love you. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you that I can pray to you, my Father in heaven. So Abba, Father, I belong to you. I am made by you, for you, and I am greatly loved by you because of Jesus. And this morning I give my life to you. I come home to you and thank you for your love, which rushes to me, which comforts me, which strengthens me, which forgives me. Thank you, Lord, when I turn to you, you rush to me, and I can say, Abba, Father.